Hello, friends. This is Brian Little, the host of the Your Favorite Blockhead podcast, available on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And you know, for the longest time as a podcaster, the question was always asked, how do you get sponsors to come to the table and promote their brands on your show? And I never had a great answer for you. Until now, that has been resolved with Podcorn.com, the online marketplace where sponsors and podcasters can come together and collaborate on your show. Everything from topical discussions to guest interviews to giveaways and contests, or you could do a host read pre-roll, mid-roll, or post-roll for your show for the brand that is willing to come onto your show. Get onto podcorn.com, sign up, send over your RSS link just so they know which platform you're using, and then you can start promoting your pitch to sponsors on podcorn.com. You can also follow yourfavoriteblockhead.com/blog. Every week on the blog, you will see the links for the show, and you will see podcorn.com. Or you can just use the internet itself and start learning more about how getting sponsors to come to the table and talk with you. That's Podcorn, PODCORN.com. Changing the game, podcasts, and for sponsors to finally collaborate. That is Podcorn.com. Sign up today. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for stopping by once again. You are listening to Your Favorite Blockhead, the only podcast in the podcasting world that can somehow incorporate the Peanuts comic strip 1 minute and then be talking about MMA and Warriors Inside the Octagon the next. As much as I would like to hang my head low and tell you that I don't have the urgency nor the will to move on. As the phrase goes, the show must go on. And that's nothing against my guest. My guest happens to be sick right now at this point. The weather's got him down. It's been happening to a lot of people. So even though Blockhead promised you that there would be a guest on this week, once again, he has stumbled in his own pathway. But we're going to go ahead and continue with what we got today. Make sure you check out podcorn.com. You can see the links for that. You heard the promo earlier in this section of the podcast. Be sure and check out Yogi's Podcast Network through the blog. You can go to yourfavoriteblockhead.com/blog and see all of the up-to-date links for all the notes that I give you, all of the links to other shows that I'm part of. I'm part of the Yogi's Podcast Network. The Nightly Rant's about to have episode number 300. That's coming up, episode 300. The Dose Leprechauns are doing extremely well at this point. Jason's son, Nate, has his own show. Halo Diehards has already had some amazing guests, and I will be making sure that we promote him as much as possible. So as we get started today, I'm hoping, maybe you didn't, but yours truly did, because every year for Valentine's Day, I watch Be My Valentine, Charlie Brown. Made sure I sat down and watched that with the little red-haired girl. That's part of one of our traditions. But also, the comment has been made by my lovely little red-haired girl many times that I spend a lot of time watching cartoons and stupid stuff. Now, that is true when it holds dear to things like Snoopy and Charlie Brown and the Peanuts gang, but sometimes she gets a little bit concerned on why I would spend time watching a lot of the older cartoons that do seem to rub people the wrong way in 2020. Here's what I mean by that. If you have ever gone back and watched some of the early episodes of Bugs Bunny, or if you've checked out even Donald Duck or Goofy, you had very pro-war propaganda coming out of the 1940s. And when you look at it through that lens, just like any historian, you are looking in a third dimension. You're able to understand things from a different perspective. You don't just look at that and go, well, that's uncomfortable to watch. No, during the 1940s, the cartoons that were coming out were very pro-American and were very anti-Japanese. we are in the middle of World War II. While our boys are over in the Pacific Theater or they're out in the trenches, you have Bugs Bunny, who is making his known presence in episodes like what's called Bugs Bunny Nips the Nips. That might rub some of y'all the wrong way hearing this. However, if you look it through the context of propaganda, you might think of it from a different perspective. And sometimes she looks at me and goes, why do you watch stuff like that? And I guess a lot of it is because I know that my grandpa served in the Second World War. He is one of my heroes. But I've always wondered what he carried with him, whether it was guilt, whether it was forgiveness. I don't know what he carried. But there have been other TV shows that have even brought these thoughts back to the surface. One of them was The Twilight Zone. Now, I'm bringing all that forward for you because you're going to see, as I talk in this episode, about different types of propaganda. Yes, you can go check out Bugs Bunny during the 1940s, and it is very clear, it's very apparent, which side that they are on. It's very pro-American. And yes, it has phrases that are used that are not accepted today. Like, there's a part where Bugs Bunny flies alongside of a Japanese soldier and puts an anvil in his hands and says, here's some scrap iron for Japan. And the next thing you know, he's battling a sumo wrestler. Well, all of that is to tell you that if you want to go check these out for your own, you can. Or I can just let you know that Donald Duck was very much a pro-American, anti-Hitler-style cartoon during the 1940s. I think even Goofy had a few of those. Not so much the case for Mickey Mouse. We're going to get to him later. Mickey Mouse becomes apparent in Vietnam. But to do a quick transition, you saw in this the title of this podcast that I call it The Shadow and Substance. Well, that is a common phrase used in the intro for The Twilight Zone. You're entering a world of shadow and substance. You are entering The Twilight Zone. There is an episode that everybody in the Blockhead Nation needs to watch and be enlightened about. That episode is not the episode of the guy that's on the wing or whatever other Twilight Zone you might know the monsters are doing Maple Street. No, this episode is called The Encounter. It has a former veteran and a Japanese citizen that are locked in an attic. As the intro talks about, there's a battle that's going to take place. Crammed inside of an attic full of skeletons from the past that resurface, and even souvenirs of yesterday's war. I think it was mentioned about how the ghosts from the dim are going to reach from the past, and they're going to emerge in this story. It starts with a guy who finds a samurai sword in his attic. Next thing you know, there's a Japanese gentleman who wants to come mow his lawn. He invites him up for a couple of beers, and the next thing you know, there's a post-traumatic episode where he's wandering through the attic and he looks back and this young gentleman named Arthur has hidden in the background and has pulled the samurai sword. And on the sword it's engraved, "My sword will avenge me," written in Japanese. I give you all that, and it's not like I put myself in those spots because I want to just be caught in a dark place. It's one thing that's tied both of them together, that's locked them in mortal embrace, is the guilt that both of them carry. You find out later in the episode, I don't want to go into every detail about it, you find out that the Japanese gentleman, his father, was a traitor. He had been a civilian working in the Navy at Pearl Harbor. He had been working on as one of a foreman on one of the construction crews building the docks. And he had signaled the planes on where to go and drop the bombs. That's the guilt he carried. Another guilt that the other guy carried is simply obeying orders. So if you look further into this, there's also plenty of that propaganda that plays into one of the most well-known war movies of all time. That would be Full Metal Jacket, filmed by Stanley Kubrick. Now, another thing, a long while back in this podcast, I looked at what was called the Kubrick Maze. If you think that a lot of the filming that Stanley Kubrick did in his movies, from A Clockwork Orange to The Shining, to even Eyes Wide Shut before he died were just incidental. I'm going to clear something up for you. He was very intentional with lighting that he used and certain screenshots that he did over and over again, that there can be no accident when you look at the parallels that come to the surface. Here's one of them. It's very possible that Gunnery Sergeant Hartman and Private Pyle didn't even exist. It might have just been the duality of man that's happening with Joker in the story. It's very possible. And I bring all that when I reference Mickey Mouse. Both Snoopy and Mickey Mouse are evident in Full Metal Jacket if you look for it. Right at the part where Joker goes into the head. Let's take that out of military context and just think for a second. Going into the head. Into his own head. And in it is the childhood existence that is being destroyed by the military. Gunnery Sergeant Hawk walks in and says, "What is this Mickey Mouse expletive deleted?" I hope you get the idea. There's also a reference to Mickey Mouse many times when all of the journalists that are in the field are discussing what's happening. There's even a sign in the background that says, "First to go, last to know." Basically reserving the right to remain ignorant. There are only two stories that are coming out of the journalists during this time period. Something positive about winning the war, or that the Vietnamese are accepting American advertising. And in through the entire section of where the journalists are sitting, behind Joker and behind the main crewman, are a bunch of Mickey Mouse paraphernalia. And also, there's Snoopy. Mickey Mouse represents American concepts. But what's weird is that there was a lost cartoon of Mickey Mouse joining the army during the Vietnam War. It's only a minute long. It finally resurfaced on YouTube a few years ago. I think it was made in 1968. And it shows Mickey Mouse going into war, and less than a minute he is killed by one of the Vietnamese in guerrilla warfare. Quite the contrast to the Second Great War and Donald Duck's patriotism and Bugs Bunny's patriotism. Something for the viewers and the listeners to consider is, if you're looking through this in the context of history and the context of propaganda, then you no longer look at these with rose-colored glasses. At the very end of Full Metal Jacket, those that have seen it, what song are they singing as they are walking through the ruins of Vietnam? MickeyMouse. Many times Mickey Mouse was also a reference for something that was useless, or something that was too drab, or something that was not as kempt as could be on a military uniform. All of these can be considered as you look deeper into it on your own. Shadow and Substance. We've unlocked this door for you on your favorite blockhead for you to see it through a different dimension. Stanley Kubrick was intentional with that. That he calls Vietnam the most absurd war in American history. This is a different kind of guilt that our Vietnam, that our own soldiers experienced when they came home. Again, I share all that just because, am I only watching Peanuts comic strips? Of course not. Am I only watching Be My Valentine, Charlie Brown? I'm teased by my wife all the time by the little red-haired girl. But she's always like, why are you putting yourself through that? It's to be able to gain that third dimension of understanding history through propaganda. Because all three of these examples I gave you, from Bugs Bunny against the Japanese, to the episode The Encounter from The Twilight Zone, to the beloved Full Metal Jacket, all three of these are examples of propaganda. One right in the middle of the Second Great War, another one 20 years later after the bombing of Pearl Harbor, and the scars are still there, to a very different type of war, an absurd war, that we are still debating on why we were there in the first place. Stanley Kubrick has many references to this, even with something like singing the Mickey Mouse theme, walking through the ruins of Vietnam. If you want more than that, I can always tell you to go to cultivelearning.com or check out Rob Ager on YouTube, because he can tell you a lot more than that. But to get into things that I'm excited about, I can tell you that I'm excited about promoting my friends over at shop.sega.com. Guys, the Sonic the Hedgehog movie is coming out, and what better way to go to shop.sega.com to get your t-shirts, your phone cases, your bags, your wallets, your coffee mugs, and your collectibles that display all your favorite Sega Genesis memories. If you are a Sega person, from Sonic the Hedgehog to the early days of Streets of Rage, even Sega Dreamcast apparel can be found on this website. Check out my blog page for the podcast, and you can see for yourself at SegaShop, shop.sega.com, to be able to get your paraphernalia for the upcoming Sonic the Hedgehog movie. Our scripture of the day comes from Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. I'm not sure those of you who need to hear that, but I share that with you tonight. We become what we think about, Earl Nightingale once said. Jesus says, a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So I mentioned I'm excited about the Sonic movie, but man, something just came up on a website that I follow too. I'm a huge He-Man and Masters of the Universe fan. He-Man.org just talked about how there is a Netflix series coming out called He-Man Revelation. They intend to pick up on every unfinished story from the original He-Man series from the 80s. Pick up right where they left off in this brand new animated series on Netflix. And who's taking over the project? None other than Kevin Smith. If anybody wants to doubt the quality that's going to come out of He-Man Revelation on Netflix, just because of how much they almost sillified, I'm going to use that word there, the She-Ra series. If Kevin Smith has a hold of this, now granted, Kevin Smith is a well-known Star Wars fan. But he is very meticulous, too. He is the Stanley Kubrick of the 21st century in so many ways, but with a more comedic twist on him. Not too over-the-top serious, but a guy, if you're going to give him the project, he will do it right. And who else happens to be one of the voiceovers of Skeletor? None other than Luke Skywalker himself, Mark Hamill. You've got a powerful voice cast coming out that can match the power of He-Man coming into the new Netflix series. You guys should be watching for this. Now, the last part is I always want to talk about MMA. The big thing I can mention is that even though I could go on for about the deal with Jon Jones and Dominic Reyes, it looks to me like the biggest dispute between that is the third round. I mean, but either way, that isn't what's embarrassing. What's embarrassing is that you had judges who weren't even watching one of the fights in the prelims. And it would take Dominic Cruz to point that out, wouldn't it? The guy who I've continuously said on here has an MMA IQ that is to be appreciated and respected. Not long after that, Joe Rogan looks over and goes, yeah, this person's not even looking at the fight. They're not watching. They're not scoring it properly. And they are heated over this. Rightfully so. Red hot. Now, that would be the part that I'd be the most embarrassed about. It happened in Houston. Nonetheless, do we run it back with Dominic Reyes? I would love to see Jon Jones and Dominic Reyes too. I don't know how the cards are going to fall on that. The information I have is only as good as what's presented to me. I'll be watching for sure, dog. I'll be watching online on BloodyElbow.com. I'll follow Ariel Helwani as much as I can to see what the up-to-date events are going to happen. But what I'm understanding that I can be excited about, that I can focus on that's praiseworthy, as it says Philippians 4:8, think about such things, is I can praise the middleweight battleground that's about to happen with the UFC and with Bellator, because you're going to have two major showdowns coming up soon for the middleweight strap for both companies. In the UFC, you've got Israel Adesanya putting his belt up against Yoel Romero. Wow. What a blockbuster of a fight. No matter the way that goes. And I almost feel as fickle as the wind on this one. Either way that it happens, that's going to be a great fight. Another one that I'm not happy about the cause, but I am happy about the effect, is that Rafael Lovato Jr., because of brain conditions, has to relinquish his middleweight strap. Now that means that the strap is now available, and now what our matchup is going to be is Gegard Mousasi versus Douglas Lima. Now my question is Douglas Lima going to relinquish the belt for the welterweight division, who he just won in the welterweight Grand Prix? Glad I got it back. Or is he going to go for the status of champ? As Ryan Bader happens to be champ status in Bellator as well. Not really sure what direction we're going to go, but oh my goodness, what a fight. I don't believe either of those two are going to be a letdown. Either way, you'll be seeing some fireworks. Those two matches I'm excited about to come up with, and I can tell you one more thing as I let you guys go and I get in touch with my next guest, just to see how he's doing, and we can get, hopefully, I'm not going to disclose to you who he is, but make sure that he's in good standing for next week. But the one last thing I can tell you is that it is President's Day, and you guys need to check out the new President's Day sale that's going on with my friends over at Koa Coffee. Guys, direct Kona coffee from Hawaii that is harvested only when the beans are cherry red, so that every roast is spot on Aloha style every time. Forbes, the top 10 coffees in the world, they have referred to it as the best coffee in America. The ground dark Vienna roast is what I strongly recommend, but you can check out, there is no promo code. You just have to follow the link that I've got. The discount will already be applied, and 10% off of $25 or more, or 15% off $50 or more. Whatever you decide to do, you're going to get a percentage off of your purchase. Stock up and save on your favorite cup of Aloha from Koa Coffee. And with that, guys, we will see you next week, hopefully with a better feeling guest, and that I will not be fighting so much through my own runny nose and a little bit of congestion. Hope that will go away. That will subside the next time that we talk. Hope everybody has a wonderful week. This is your favorite blockhead, and we'll see you guys next time. The same blockhead time, same blockhead channel. The show will always go on. We'll see you every Saturday.